It is Wednesday, June 30th, 2021. There are aggressive wildfires burning east of Kelowna right now.
There are currently more than 6,100 properties under evacuation order.
As this fire continues to grow.
Do you feel like they're getting it under control at this point?
Hard to say.
I got here just like a month ago, I guess, and then quarantined for 2 weeks. And
if you were in the Okanagan last summer, this might sound familiar. I moved to the Okanagan last June of 2021, just in time for a record-breaking heat wave. It contributed to one of the biggest fire seasons this valley has experienced in the last century. What you're hearing is a recording I made as I heard the news of those fire events.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of a historic heat wave. Apparently it's the hottest it's ever been in the city of Kelowna.
Fires started in rapid succession across the province of British Columbia and around the Okanagan. July 10th, Becker Lake. July 11th, Thomas Creek. July 13th, White Rock Lake. July 14th, Brenda Creek. July 19th, Ink Meep. August 15th, Mount Law. August 28th, Skaha Creek. September 3rd, Hedges Butte. I read the news on my computer when, just a few hours away in British Columbia, most of the town of Lytton burned down. The fire moved so quickly that residents had less than 30 minutes to leave. Two people died. Lytton had experienced the highest temperatures ever recorded in Canada for 3 days prior to that fire.
I'm looking at other headlines. Village of Lytton, BC, evacuated. As Mira says, the whole town is on fire. Time lapse of wildfire smoke east of Kelowna, BC. A wildfire has broken out on the south side of Highway 97C near Trepanier Road. So, it doesn't look good.
These were all interface fires, wildfires occurring where forests and neighborhoods meet. Thousands of people in the Okanagan Valley were evacuated. The White Rock Lake fire burned more than 70 homes in Monte Lake along West Side Road and on Okanagan Indian Band land. Even where I live in downtown Kelowna, the smoke from fires around the valley infiltrated. I packed my first just-in-case evacuation bag uncertainly and left it by the door. I hid inside from the heat wave and smoke. It felt like a privilege to have the protection of my air purifier and AC, as if these technologies could erase the unsettling heat and fire realities for a while. As the fires burned, I felt lucky to live away from the forest edge, where decades of unburned material carried the fires towards homes. Here's my recording again.
And I'm not sure how normal any of these are. And I've read all about the positive ecology of fire, and yet, you know, my first time living through a fire season in the worst heat wave the Pacific Northwest has ever recorded, it still scares me. It's still a fear response. And I'm in the middle of downtown Kelowna, so I assume things are safe right now. I assume I'd hear sirens or get a phone call or whatever, but maybe that's not even true.
When I began to learn about where and when fires happened in the Okanagan Valley over the last century, I saw what a change the last two decades of wildfires have been, a burst of aggressive burning after long decades of little fire. I wanted to learn more about the history of fire here, about people using fire on the land, and about people's experiences living through wildfire threats. The idea that this Okanagan landscape is connected to fire, even maintained by it, can be difficult to hold in communal memory when the absence of fire is widely celebrated. Most of us experience fire predominantly as a summer threat that we'd rather do without. Conversations about living with fire are happening globally, but fires happen locally in highly specific ways. They are affected by particular geographies, cultures, and structures of power, policy, and management. I wanted to learn more about fire in this specific place, the Okanagan Valley. I'm new to this valley, and maybe you are too. The Okanagan is one of the fastest-growing regions of British Columbia today, and millions of tourists visit during the summer, which is also the height of wildfire season. This academic podcast is shaped by my questions and conversations as a newcomer to this place, trying to get to know this fiery home. What does it mean for people to live well with fire here? What has it meant? My name is Judith Burr. Most people call me Judy, and I use she, her pronouns. This is my thesis project. I'm a master's student in the Interdisciplinary Graduate Studies program at UBC Okanagan in the Digital Arts and Humanities theme. The digital humanities is a relatively new world of academic scholarship that celebrates the use of digital tools for research and knowledge sharing. This field of study has allowed me to apply digital tools to researching and communicating fire stories from in and around the Okanagan Valley. I've been interested in audio stories and podcasting for a few years now. I've been exploring quite a few audio story possibilities, and I've interviewed a lot of my family and friends for all kinds of podcasts that I haven't finished yet. I wanted to say to you, if you're one of those people that I've interviewed, thanks so much for helping me learn about this process, how to tell audio stories, and what I can and cannot do alone. This Digital Arts and Humanities program has given me the support I needed to connect with other people practicing podcasting and complete this as my thesis project. I've also been curious about ways of using fire and of living with fire for some years now. I became interested in local histories of people and fire when I was an undergrad student at Stanford University back in 2012. I was a research assistant then at the Building Center for the American West, where our Comparative West project welcomed me into learning about Indigenous fire stewardship and the politics of its implementation in communities in Australia and California. This was a formative project. I soaked in the stories, experiences, and lessons of fire management and cultural burning that people shared with me. Even after I graduated, it was difficult to stop thinking about the challenges of living with fire and of putting good fire back on the land. It was difficult to know what to do with the importance of those stories. This podcast brings many of my experiences and interests together with an active need I'm hearing circulating around the Okanagan and beyond, a need to improve the ways we live in and manage this fire-prone landscape. These episodes center on 14 interviews I conducted in person and over Zoom with people who understand fire through scholarship, management, Indigenous fire stewardship, and other kinds of experience across what many of us now call British Columbia. I reflected with each of my interviewees about the Okanagan specifically, but their experiences and knowledges extend beyond it. So what you'll hear is not neatly bounded as an Okanagan Valley story. You'll hear stories of cultural burning and prescribed burning, stories of living through wildfire events, stories of fighting fire, stories of managing ecosystems with an awareness of fire's role, and more. I see all of these as ways of knowing about fire through study and experience. Although I narrate parts of these episodes to share the connections I'm making from the interviews and my background research, I don't think that there's just one way to hear this. Sharing this research in a publicly accessible format is a way of inviting you, listener, into these conversations, into the practical work of building a healthier life with fire in the Okanagan, or whatever fire-prone landscape you call home. I created this work on the unceded territory of the Sealk Okanagan people. As we will hear, Sealk Okanagan knowledges and land care practices have so much to do with creating a sustainable life with fire here. Dr. Jeanette Armstrong is a Sealk Okanagan elder and knowledge keeper and Canada Research Chair in Okanagan Indigenous Knowledge and Philosophy. I have been listening to her work. One quote in particular jumped out at me in the context of my research. When asked to define sustainability in an interview in 2007, Armstrong responded, quote, One of the things in our community is that it isn't something that is theorized. It is always something that is practical and something that is understood in terms of what you do and what you don't do. End quote. The fire knowledges and stories you will hear come back to practice again and again. What do we value in our fire-prone landscapes? And how are we putting those values into practice on the land? The history of wildfire and the history of people using fire in this valley is old, older than all of us listening. These dry interior landscapes of bunchgrass and ponderosa pine and Saskatoon berries, of bighorn sheep and deer, of hot, dry summers and cold winters, and of people entangled in all of it. These have been in community with fires for thousands of years. The way fire moves across this landscape continues to change with our choices about what to value and how to practice those values in this place. There's a way for each of us to contribute to a healthier home with fire here. I'll share a few ideas, like making our homes fire smart, or being more tolerant of spring and fall smoke so that light burns conducted by firekeepers and burn bosses can go forward. But I think I'm asking questions with this work that everybody who lives in this valley and everyone who loves it here will have to help figure out. This podcast is a beginning, not an end. One final note. I did these interviews during the COVID-19 pandemic, and some of the audio quality is less than stellar. I included clips from those conversations anyway, because I think that the interview content is important, even though you might have to listen a little more closely. Many of the interviews I conducted will be archived on my thesis project website, listeningtofirepodcast.ca. And you can listen to the full interviews there.